Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Jakob. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Woohoo! I'm learning a new language every day. Jakob, welcome to the show. Why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself?
Welcome. Good to be here. My name is Jakub Szymaszek. I'm a program manager in SQL Server, Azure SQL Database product team.
Perfect. And you are here to talk about something very interesting to SQL Server, new to SQL Server vNext. What are we talking about?
Always encrypted.
What is always encrypted?
Right. It's a new encryption technology that we are introducing in SQL Server vNext, which we are very, very excited about because it's quite innovative and changes the way people approach encryption.
So people, most DBAs, developers, you know, people familiar with SQL, they understand TDE, right?
Right.
This is new. This is not TDE.
This is new and quite different from TDE.
TDE.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So one of the key differences is with TDE, the data, TDE protects data addressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it ensures the data is encrypted when it's stored at disk and so on. With Always Encrypted, we protect data at all points in the life cycle of data and the query processing, if you will.
Okay.
So the data is protected in transit, when it is being transmitted from the client to the server, when it is being stored on the server side at rest, protection, as well as when the data is in use in SQL Server memory, for example.
Oh, interesting.
So this is probably the most unique characteristic of this feature.
So let me ask you this. So is this a either or? Would I use one or the other? Or could you actually use these together?
Excellent question. Not only you can use them together, you actually should use these two features together.
So I'm still going to use TDE to encrypt the data at rest, but I'm going to use Always Encrypted to encrypt my data in flight, for example.
In flight, at rest, as well as in use. So there is a little bit of overlap here.
Okay.
So actually the intention behind this feature is that it provides extra level of protection to meet a compliance regulatory requirements, as well as to basically reduce the attack surface area, if you will, because as we'll discuss in a moment, what it really does, it ensures that the server never sees the sensitive data that is encrypted in plain text and never sees the keys as well.
So how does it work, really?
Right, so I have a little example here that I'll be happy to go over. So I'm using the healthcare domain as an example, which might be familiar to you and some viewers. So I have a database here with a patients table, and this table has a few columns, and I want to start with calling out one important characteristic of Always Encrypted, which is with this feature you control the granularity of encryption at the column level. So basically you pick and choose individual columns to be encrypted, which again is different from TDE, where you basically, it's a kind of all or nothing semantics.
Right.
You encrypt the entire database.
So I can be very specific. I want this column column encrypted and the rest.
Precisely.
Okay.
Yes. So that's one important point. The second point is transparency. So as you can see in this example, there is a client application. Again, it's a healthcare domain. So let's imagine a nurse or a doctor is running an app on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that app is issuing a query, a statement like this, where it's trying to map a social security number, which is stored in an encrypted column in the database, to a name, which is also stored in an encrypted column.
Mm-hmm.
And it's passing a parameter, which is a social security number, and as usual, in the plain text form. So you don't see anything that is specific to encryption in this query, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a total transparency in terms of passing information that corresponds to encrypted columns. As usual, they are passed in plain text, nothing special about it. Now the key part is the role that the client driver plays in this workflow. So initially, Always Encrypted will be supported in .NET Framework and the SQL client driver. And such a Always Encrypted aware or enabled driver does, whenever it receives a statement, a query like this, It engages in a dialogue, in a handshake with the server. And during this dialogue, it determines, it identifies, determines which parameters in a query correspond to encrypted columns. Right.
So this leads me to a question, because we're talking about the client driver. So right. And you, you talked about the .NET. So are to use always encrypted, or we need to update our client driver, .NET framework?
Great question. Yes, if you happen to be using ADO.NET SQL client and .NET framework, you have to upgrade to the new version. .NET,
okay.
The upcoming version 4.6. Mm-hmm. If you in the future will support other drivers as well, ODBC, JDBC, yep. You will need a new version.
So you'll need to
drivers.
Update to .NET 4.6 or whatever the...
Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. That's true. Okay. So again, coming back to this example, the driver will determine with the help of the server that this SSN parameter corresponds to an encrypted column in the database, okay. And it should be encrypted. And it will figure out how it should be encrypted, and it will transparently produce a ciphertext for this plaintext SSN value and replace the plaintext parameter value with ciphertext.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see here, what it means is that the server, when it receives this parameter value of a parameter that corresponds to an encrypted column in the database, the column that contains sensitive data, it's already encrypted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that instead of select statement with a where clause where we filter by SSN, we have the insert statement, the same effect, which implies that when I insert data to the database, database will receive encrypted data and will never see the plaintext values. It will never see the keys as well, because the keys, unlike with TD or unlike with cell-level encryption and other existing technology in SQL Server, the keys are also stored on the client side.
Yeah.
They can be stored in the certificate store, on a machine hosting the client application, mm-hmm. on an arbitrary store. For example, some customers prefer using hardware security modules, which are a specialized type of hardware that is used to store secrets, like the keys. So we'll support that mechanism as well. All right, so client-side encryption, decryption, that's the another unique characteristic of this feature. One more interesting point is that the server now, when it receives this statement with this where clause that now contains the encrypted parameter,
mm-hmm.
and it has the encrypted column, despite the fact that these both things are encrypted, the server will be able to evaluate this expression. In other words, it will be able to perform computation on encrypted data.
Mm-hmm.
And it will find the right match, in this case, the right result set, the right name corresponding to the SSN. And it will return that to the client driver. Again, as you can see in this diagram, the name will be encrypted until
it hits
the driver, exactly, where it's...
And the reverse happens.
Exactly.
Yep.
The driver will transparently decrypt it, presenting the plain text to the application, which again illustrates the transparency aspect of this feature, right?
Wonderful. What's the... you know, we always think in terms of, if you're a developer, especially if you're a SQL person, right? We always think in terms of performance, right?
Right.
What's the overhead of having to do this translation here? Do we see much of an overhead or a performance decrease, or is it, you know, pretty quick?
Right. We don't have exact performance results at this point, but the initial numbers we look at, they suggest basically that the overhead will be comparable to if the customer implemented the encryption within the application, because we're using a standard .NET algorithm, so there is nothing unusual here.
Okay. So the encryption and decryption is actually happening here.
That's right.
True?
Correct.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Not on the server side.
Not on the server side.
Yep.
Yeah. So always encrypted happens. Always encryption sort of happens here, and not here. So what happens if I am using TDE here, and it's encrypted, and I send it back. I mean, does this understand TDE or?
No, it doesn't understand TDE at all. These things are completely disjoint, and one doesn't see the other. TDE is a basically a disk encryption technology, if you will, database files that are stored on disk are encrypted. And the moment with TDE, when the data is retrieved into memory, normally it appears in plain text, right?
Yeah.
So now, if you use always encrypted and TDE, the data will be, of course, encrypted on disk, but when it's retrieved on memory, it remains encrypted, right? Because it was inserted in the encrypted format in the first place.
Encrypted for here,
right.
Yes. Okay.
So you can ask a question, well, there is this redundancy here. Do we even need TDE if we have this feature?
Yep,
so,
big follow-up question.
Right. the answer to that would be that basically we won't be recommending using always encrypted to encrypt, for example, all columns and all tables and all database. One of the reasons is this performance overhead that we talked about. The other reason is, which is worthwhile mentioning here, is that in the V1 of this feature, there will be some restrictions, some limitations. I mentioned a cool, unique characteristic of always encrypted is that, which is about an ability of the server to perform computations on encrypted data. Well, initially, this support will be limited essentially to equality comparison.
Okay.
So we'll be able, so you will be able to do things like this, filtering with equality comparison in work clauses or equality joins or group by operations, but you won't be able to do like or pattern matching or other more complicated things. And gradually we'll lift these restrictions and we support more operations. But that's another reason not to use it ubiquitously everywhere.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, the more you think about this, this is like, I could use these together, right? They complement each other because this encrypts and decrypts, not at rest, on the fly. So everything's encrypted when I, when I send it, and I can still store it if I want to encrypt
it. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, cool. So you got a demo for us?
Yeah, I do have a little demo. So I have a little example from the same domain, healthcare. So in my sample database, I have a patients table. But before we go there, I want to point out a few basic things. I want to point out this little statement here. So this thing, we call it a column master key definition.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is, this basically contains the definition of the main key that is going to be used to protect my sensitive data in the database. And what this metadata record tells us is that for that protection as a key, I'm going to use a certificate that I will be storing in the certificate store.
Yep.
So for an application to correctly encrypt, decrypt data, I'm going to store in this database, this certificate needs to be installed in the certificate store on that machine.
Okay.
And in addition, here is the information about that certificate, a thumbprint, and some other details, okay? So I'm going to skip maybe less interesting parts here and focus on this table definition. So if you look at it, it's a patient's table, a little more complex than in this diagram that we looked at. So it, as you can see, it looks almost normal with the exception of these few annotations that I have here, which basically I'm using to mark a few columns here as encrypted.
Okay.
So again, I'll be skipping some details here. I will be happy to come back and talk about another interesting aspect, which is why you set this thing up.
Yeah, I think it would be very nice to have you to come back and talk in a little more detail about, how we're this aspect of the security.
Exactly, right? So, but the bottom line is that I have the table with a few columns that are encrypted, okay? And now let's assume that I'm a user who doesn't have that certificate that I pointed you to at the beginning on my machine.
Sure.
In other words, I'm not a person who's supposed to see this data in plain text.
Yep.
Perhaps I'm an engineer that involved in troubleshooting of a life-site incident in this application, and I don't really have a need to see the data
sure.
in plain text. So let's see what happens if I execute this statement, okay? So as you can see, the columns that I chose to be encrypted with these little annotations mm-hmm. are encrypted indeed.
Encrypted.
And all I can see are binary blobs here,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Now, let's see how things are going to be different if I use an application that has been correctly configured with that
yep.
certificate.
So what we've done is we've looked at the data that's encrypted using always encrypted.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
In stored and encrypted in the database. Right.
Right.
So what does that mean for me? From an application standpoint, how do I query that?
Right. So from the application standpoint, you basically need to make sure that you have that certificate that we talked about
yep.
at the beginning correctly configured, and you have a little flag in the connection string indicating that you're using the always encrypted feature set, and that's pretty much all. And now, if I go here and look at the list of the patients, this list appears in plain text.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one other thing, and this is going to become fairly technical for a moment, but I want to show you one interesting aspect. So when I click on this hyperlink here, what this is going to trigger, it will be a query that will try to find visits for this patient, filtering on the social security number.
Okay.
So now I have the profiler running here in the background,
mm-hmm.
okay, and SQL Server profiler. So if you look here, I just captured that query that was issued by my click on that social security number. So basically, I'm trying to find out the details from the visits table about the visits for the patient I clicked on.
Yep.
And what I'm passing as a parameter is a social security number.
Yep.
And look at that. The social security number is indeed encrypted right?
Yep.
So again, this is proof fact that
this is what SQL Server received as far as a parameter.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So that shows that it will never see the plaintext data. It doesn't have the keys. All we saw in this definition
mm-hmm.
of the master key, basically it was a definition, the metadata about where the master key is located, not
right.
the key itself.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
This is great. So I think awesome demo in the terms of we understand TDE, like we talked about at the beginning. We understand TDE, mm-hmm. but what we don't understand is, you know, the TDE just encrypts at rest. So when I query that, it's sending that stuff, right? So how does this affect things like a man in the middle attack? You know, if I'm trying to grab data in flight, this really helps with that. Right?
Exactly. So the data remains encrypted throughout.
In order for them to decrypt, they'd still need this key.
That's correct.
This is a great security feature.
Yeah. So we're really hoping to help, as I said, with reducing the attack surface area, because now you simply don't have sensitive data in the database in the plain text format. You don't have the keys, so you basically remove that tier from potential attacks.
That's fantastic.
Right.
So we'd love to go back to SQL for a second.
Right.
We'd love to have you back at some point and talk more about these keys and how kind of a key management perspective and how that applies to when I create my tables
Absolutely.
And things like that.
And by the way, this is something that we are working on at this time. So we're working on making sure that the customers, users
yep.
will have a right set of tools that will help with this key management and will make it
Perfect.
Really straightforward and super easy.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Yep. I think this is great. Now, always encrypted. Are we going to see some enhancements between now and CTP2 just released, just announced? What can we expect for CTP3, possibly GA?
Right. So a few things. So in my example, I showed you using a certificate store as a key store,
mm-hmm.
a container for my master key. will support more storage options in the future, including Azure Key Vault, and including custom storage options.
Perfect.
I mentioned hardware security modules.
Okay.
The other area that we are focusing on and will be gradually adding more and more support is tooling. So we'll be investing heavily in SSMS and SSDT, adding tools for key management and managing the schema of an encrypted database and moving data around. So another interesting aspect about this feature is that it basically gives you more confidence in scenarios where you have to move data around from one database to another, for example, or between various services.
Instances, things like that. Yep. Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Awesome. So are you still taking feedback? So when we post this video, can people give you feedback?
And absolutely.
Perfect. So
absolutely.
We'll be sure to include your email address. Wonderful. Jakob, thank you so much for coming.
This has
been fantastic. Everybody, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.